on a magnificent Monday evening. How's everyone doing? It's the Teddy Bear and welcome to Night Tracks Radio. And today's artist spotlight, singer, songwriter, producer, gifted vocalist, Lord have mercy, Michael Cooper
from the Teddy Bear.
From the legendary Confunction. Brother, how have you been doing, man?
Pretty good, man. We've been busy. You know, I've been trying to stay healthy, man. We're burning up out here in Cali, back hurting, and trying to deal with it on these airlines and planes and making it happen. But every single show, man, boom, we there.
You're burning it up, man, and you put so much love and so much effort in all your music. But you know what? You have a new hit single, Text Me Tomorrow. But what I'm waiting for the album, man. Smooth Jukebox. I'm waiting for this album to drop. Can you give the listeners out there an idea on what we should expect? What we should suspect from this Confunction album?
Well, the Text Me Tomorrow was the toe in the water. Usually, you drop your single in conjunction with the album. But Text Me Tomorrow was kind of like, yeah, we're still tweaking in the studio, but we got to let everybody in on what's happening on the Smooth Jukebox, right?
Right.
So the album, man, I'm excited about it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't think in the history of Confunction we've ever had an album with what I would consider 4 to 5 singles. So that was like a kind of a controversy. Do we pull some of these out and save them for later? Or do we just leave it alone, man, and just drop single after single after single with the album? And since our label's a streaming label, we're saying, you know what, we can just drop the album and just keep dropping singles, man. And working singles at terrestrial and internet radio and see how far we get. So yeah, man, the album is crazy. Smooth Jukebox. We got a song in there called So Smooth. It's cool. We got a song in there, but we got one song, man, that's very, very shocking.
Really?
And we can't let the cat out the bag until it's released. Because when people go through the album, they be on the streaming the album, and this song go come on, they go say like, what the hell? What? They're gonna rewind it and say, what are these brothers doing? And we can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, one of the things that I've always admired about you, Michael, is that your business acumen. You've always been a couple of steps ahead of the game. You understood from the beginning that this is a business. And I wanted you to give the listeners and people that are tuning in live, but give them a little bit more insight as far as these up and coming artists, how to get themselves prepared as far as on the business side, because now we're in a whole new ball game with streaming, very few record labels. There's no record stores anymore. So everything you're getting monetary pay from streaming, how do you get them prepared for that?
You know, first of all, the streaming part of it, I'm still learning. Last year, I became completely understanding of the fact that our record company will not be doing CDs. They will not be doing thumb drives. They will not be doing vinyl. Our music would only be available through them for streaming, not even download. I mean, they've got iTunes in place and, you know, places like that, all the different platforms where you can download.
Right.
But their thing is getting revenue from streaming, just like television. Basically, they're getting revenue from basically commercials that pop up from streaming. And I thought that was rather interesting. I wasn't thrilled about it, but I said, but I know the music's going to be exposed and I know people are going to be able to hear it and purchase it if they want to. And the old school is wide open to us. We can press up our own CDs, our own vinyl, our own thumb drives and offer them at the gigs and online. So I said, that's a good deal. You know, we can do our thing in the old school department and let them do their school. That covers the entire world, you know.
Right.
Advice I would give to the kids is that be aware of the old school still exists. The fact that, you know, you can do CDs. Not very many cars come with CDs anymore, but you can still do CDs. But make sure that your streaming connection is there. You can always release your records and stuff on iTunes, you know, Spotify, all these different platforms. But make sure you're and also make sure your material is coded material. Make sure that all the I always get these letters mixed up. The ISRC codes are embedded in your music, because most stations, especially digital, won't bother with your station if they don't have the information embedded inside the music. So be on top of that. And just be crafty about signing anything, because you always have the internet. You always have the internet. You can go straight to Amazon, sell your ware, right? Straight to iTunes, sell your ware, right? And promote your stuff on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter. You can do it and become your own record company. Now, you have to decide on how deep and how far and how big you want to go as a record company or a recording artist. Because to be where, say, Confunction is now, all of the efforts Confunction did back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, that's why we are in demand today, because of the old school way of doing things. Your record came out, the radio jumped on it, radio played it all over the nation. You had to go out and you had to go tour, okay? And you got paid big money. Those things don't exist anymore. You need followers, followers, followers. You got to rack up the followers, right? A lot of people won't do nothing with you if you ain't got 10, 10, 15, 20,000 followers. So you got to make sure you got the, oh yeah, you got to have the followers. Get that in place. Everything else, like dominoes, will fall into place, because keep in the back of your mind, you got your talent and you got the internet, and you will be heard, my brothers and sisters. You will be heard. Your stuff is going to get out there.
This is factual. You know, a good friend of mine, Melissa Morgan, and I had a conversation with her. This was late last year. Mm-hmm. And she is still struggling on how to navigate the internet and social media. And she's bothered because she feels as though that she's putting out good music, and she feels like that she's being overlooked by a lot of quote unquote baby boomers, young artists who are getting a lot of airplay. And what I've noticed about a lot of great artists like yourself, the ones who have they haven't become able to maneuver, or as you stated, around the internet, getting followers. And I said, they've become so accustomed to having everyone do something for them. The label, the big brother, the music label is doing everything, booking them, putting them out on tour. And they've never had an opportunity to have that level of control of their own career. And I remember a conversation you and I had years ago. You said the most important thing that you can have is the freedom of creativity and the freedom to own your masters. You have complete autonomy when you're able to do that. How important or how imperative is it to have your masters and have that level of creativity and the master of your own destiny?
You know, we made the mistake, of course, as young men in the 70s and 80s, we would do anything to get a record deal, sign anything. They're going to give you some cash money up front, and you can run around saying you're a Mercury recording artist. Okay. What we didn't understand is that there were a couple of crucial things that were in perpetuity. In other words, if you sign a piece of paper and gave away your publishing, these people were thinking way down the road, about 25 years ahead, how much money they can make off you when they sell it to somebody who don't care anything about it. They just want to keep selling it and keep selling it. You know, from you know, Michael Jackson bought something from the Beatles and all that. It becomes a commodity. So what I can say to everybody right now is, if you're creating something from scratch, go on in the online, copyright it, right? Copyright it. Put it down that you own it. Nobody may not have ever heard it enough, but, you know, copyright your lyrics, copyright your music, right? If you think that you might get some airplay, somebody might play it on the radio, you got to go to BMI. Right? ASCAP, BMI, either one, and register your music, right? All right, now your music's registered. Don't forget to put these codes in there when you get ready to drop your product. You hit that send or release button out there on YouTube or anywhere else. Put the codes in there. And what I say all that to say this, what I didn't know as a young man, you could wind up losing your master's for not acting.
Yeah.
The federal government designed something to where most of the record companies had to respond to you in writing and give you a chance to get back your master's within so many days. You didn't write back and claim them, they get to keep them.
Yeah.
We wound up losing out of 12 albums, we wound up losing 5 because we responded too late.
Wow.
Yeah. So now there's still a way to go back and fight that, but you still got to always insist on the ownership of your masters. They can lease them for 5 years, you know, everybody, they can make money off you for 5 years. You know, if you're young, maybe even 10 years, depending on how much money they want to give you up front. But yeah. Make sure you stay away from the word in perpetuity and make sure no one gets to own your masters. That's not happening. Go to the next record company. That's not happening. That's all I can say. Just stay on top of it. Stay on top of it. Never be afraid to hire for $300 an attorney to just sit for half an hour to an hour and go over everything about the new music business.
You know, it's funny because I remember about 5 years ago, I'd said something on my radio show and I got a lot of flack for it, but I'm going to stand in my truth. And I said, the record labels are no more than pimps. I said, they will pimp you out. They will pimp you out. They will give you a boatload of money, put you out on the track, sell that music, dress you up, give you a deal. You sign in paperwork that you don't understand the business side of the industry. And you look at, where's my royalties? Then the label's looking to recoup all the money that they invest, because the label is nothing more than a bank. And a good friend of mine who passed away, Kashif, he put a book out about 25 years ago about learning the business side of the industry. And that's the wonderful thing I love about you, because the last time we had this conversation, you went into detail, dot your I's, cross your T's, make sure you handle your business before anything else. And it's a beautiful experience. And man, you guys are out on the road. You're blowing people away on the stage. So I want to ask you, if you compare your songwriting now, say about maybe compared to about 10 years ago, how do you see you've elevated as far as your songwriting ability is concerned?
Yeah, my songwriter, I'm a dormant songwriter. I'll write when I'm supposed to write or I need to write. I love working with other people. I love getting a track from somebody, letting that track tell me what to do.
Okay.
If I'm on a deadline or if I have a record deal and I'm supposed to write, that strengthens me to be under a deadline, to have to create. And, you know, I like working with other people while I'm doing it. What I don't like is the idea of any artist sitting in a studio or room and creating from this bottom to the top. You know, I got to write the track. I got to write the lyrics. I got to write the melody. I got to sing the track. I got to sing the backgrounds. Now I got to mix the track, right? And I got to master the track. So I get, my name is in every category.
Right.
That right there to me, like, even Stevie Wonder had a record company at some point where he might have played everything, but he would bring people out from the outside. He'd bring in the Jackson 5. You drink, bring in somebody to sprinkle a little something on certain tunes, right? And so doing it, cramming yourself in a room, thinking in your mind that I'm going to be the producer, the writer, the record company, the engineer, the mixing engineer. I'm going to do everything myself, and that's going to make me a star. Believe me. Babyface can do it all, but he ain't doing it all. He wants somebody to come in there and master. He wants somebody to come in there, you know. He might mix, but he don't mind nobody telling him, yeah, that's a Babyface record. You know, yep, you got it, brother. You know, he don't have to do it all. So come on, man. Come on, get out there and share, work with people. Let people work with a producer, work with a writer, work with somebody. It's going to be good. I promise you.
Without question. I mean, look at Bernie Taupin and Elton John. They've had a beautiful.
There you go.
Beautiful chemistry for years. Close to three decades.
Yeah.
They've been together. And it's just beautiful. I would use the same with Lennon and McCartney before they separated. It's been a very beautiful experience. But you know what? One of the things I didn't get an opportunity to ask you the last time I spoke with you was how long did it take you to become comfortable to show the level of transparency in your music? Because every Michael Cooper song that I've ever listened to, you put such emphasis on emotions, human connection in all of your music. When did you get to that point in your life where I'm comfortable as far as sharing that part of me to so many people who love your music?
You know, I'm still looking for the answer. And I don't know, man. I'm a real humble, I call myself a stylist.
Okay.
I've never called myself a vocalist or really a total guitar player, really. I've got all these people that I admire. I call them guitar players. I actually have guitar players that I hire to play in the studio, right? So I do. I have the great Tony Gentry, the great Marlon McLean, the great Corey Stute. You know, these guys are virtuosos and perfectionists on their axes. And those guys is who I want to play on my record. I'll tickle a little, you know, say, text me tomorrow. That's me on the top. And that's me playing guitar on Text Me Tomorrow. I'll tickle a little stuff here and there. But, I came aware, I guess, being comfortable with what I'm hearing back on the speaker when I started enjoying myself delivering to the audience, delivering to the people. And I start looking at these reactions, especially when I play something for people. We're riding in the car. I said, check this out. And I looked at that first reaction, that first 30 seconds. I got them in that first 30 seconds. Now I'm comfortable. If I ain't got them in that first 30 seconds to a minute, Coop, you ain't quite dialed in, brother. You know, I'm my biggest critic. Now, they also stay in my lane. You know, I climbed on stage one time with the great Charlie Wilson, been about 25 years ago.
Okay.
And this has been a long time ago now. He was doing a track date. Okay. He wasn't, I think he had stepped out of the Gap Band. Somebody hired him. And he saw me in the audience and he called me up. And of course, he's doing the Charlie thing. So I just got with him on what he was doing. He pulled the mic down. He said, give me some of that Michael Cooper. Give me some of that Michael Cooper house stuff. And then he got on back. What he was trying to say is, brother, I'm about to blow you clean off the stage. I call you up here to do you. I didn't call you up here to try to get with me. Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's when you start to become aware, oh, I got a lane to stay in, and I can make money in my lane.
See,
that's what it's all about. Same with the guitar playing, same with everything else. And I got comfortable after a while once I realized that I have a lane to travel in. And as long as I do that lane and put a little salt and pepper on it, smooth it when it needs to be smooth, get rough when it needs to be rough, and just stay in your lane, and people will follow you. They'll follow you.
Well, brother, I got to ask, man, when are we going to get on that confunction train and head over to Japan and kill it? Because, you know, they love R&B, man. They love
R&B. Well, we've been going to Japan every year. I've been to Japan probably 35 times. We've been going to Japan almost every year. And back in the day before we had records, we were going twice a year because we were staying over six, 8 weeks at a time.
Okay.
We actually had to stop due to COVID. We haven't been back to Japan now in close to 4 years because it just got too dangerous to go for us. And especially at our ages and some people's immune systems, it got to a point where it was too dangerous for us to take the trip. And then the Japanese are very warm, friendly. They love hugging. They love shaking hands and hugging and the last time I was there, I got pretty sick. I got really sick. I didn't have COVID, but I got sick enough for them to almost deny me access to get back on the plane to come home. I almost had to stay there. So and after that, and that was before COVID. And then after that, COVID showed up, and then, we just kind of thought, wow, we're going to never get back to Japan. However, I think we still got one more trip in us. I think we got one more trip.
Man, I hope so, man.
I think we got one more trip.
They have such a love affair. They revere R&B music. And the beautiful thing is they still have record stores out there where you can buy vinyl, and they have the liner notes. They know the songs word for word. I've always said there's no greater love when you're appreciated for whatever you do. When people show you that love of that kind of appreciation and they appreciate the type of work that you do, it goes a long way. What has it meant for you as an artist? Just Confunction in general, to know that you've had so many people who have followed you, who have supported you, and just continually love your music. What has that meant to you from a personal standpoint?
Well, now you don't want to get me all mushy. as a musician, as a stylist, musician, a writer, all right, guitarist, husband, father, and now grandfather.
Wow.
When your grandkids start saying to you, Dee Dee, I just heard you on the radio. Hey, Papa, you just came on, call you up, say, Papa, you on the radio right now. When your grandkids are rolling down the street and they listening to fun, shaking Dan, right? Too tight. And they go and they call you on the phone and say, Dee Dee, you on the radio right now. So, blah, blah, blah. Man, it all comes right down to that moment. Me and my wife were coming home from the show the other night, the California State Fair, and I'd had a rough time with the heat and everything, and diabetes and heat and all that. And we were in the car the next morning. We thought we'd stop somewhere to get something to eat, but we just kept on driving. And we're listening to Sirius, right? And we're listening, I think it was called Soul something. Wasn't The Groove, it was the other one. And we got interrupted in our conversation. Fun came on. She says, look at that. And I looked at her, I said, now that's a good sign for the day, right? Yeah. I said, that's a good sign, right? And both of us sat there and listened to a song that we have heard probably 150,000 times all the way through. And she looked at me and she said, you're not gonna cry, are you? I said, no, I'm not gonna cry. But this sure feels good to just be rolling down the highway at about 7 in the morning. And after a gig with all the ailments and aches and pains and all this stuff, and doggone record comes on and say, brother, you still here.
You're still here. That's all that matters. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and the ones who are tuning in late, shame on you. But the teddy bear does forgive you. We're being joined tonight with the incredible Michael Cooper, of course, from Confunction, new hit single, Text Me Tomorrow, from the forthcoming album, Smooth Jukebox. I know you said you gave us a little piece of pie, a slice of cheesecake. How many tracks actually made it on to the new album?
We stopped it. We had about 18, and not to put on the album, but 18 to choose from. And then we stopped at about 12 to 14 just because we can do that. Now we've narrowed it down to 11 because we trimmed the fat. We had a couple of political statements on there we shouldn't be making. Okay. We trimmed the fat. I had a Ukraine song that I wrote. It was pretty heartwarming, you know, gut wrenching actually. And Felton pulled my coat. He said, "Man, it may not be our lane and our time to be making political statements that big right now, because that's an ongoing situation." Okay. So I kind of pulled that song. I had another song literally called Jukebox, right? And it sort of stepped outside of what we're doing or what we would do on stage. And then we turned around, we looked at what was left. And of course, man, Text Me Tomorrow. We got one called Grown Folks. We got one called They Don't Even Know. I'm pushing for that to be the next single, right? And then we got that one I Can't Tell You About.
All right.
I can't tell you. You can tell I want to tell you, but I can't tell you about that. I've had too many interviews. Everybody said, okay, at the end of this interview, you're going to tell me about this song, you know. But I, the more we keep it a secret, the better it's going to be. And I can tell you this, Teddy Bear, somebody going to be shocked. Amen. Somebody gonna be shocked. They're gonna be like, okay, brothers, okay, hold up now, you know, because I must say, we did a great job.
I believe it, man.
We did a great job.
Like I've always
I can't
said,
tell you this. I can't okay. tell you this. It's a cover tune. We didn't write it.
Really?
Yeah. As soon as this interview's over, you're gonna go in the kitchen and the refrigerator, you're gonna say, wait a minute. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, you are. You be riding down the street. You say, "I know what song it is."
Well, you know what? I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do on my part. When the album is ready, I will personally purchase 20 copies, and I will give them away as prizes on the show. I will definitely do that, man.
We love you for it. I this is what I would ask you to do, sir. Purchase one copy and let us send you the other 19, please. Buy 20. No, buy one to support, but we will promote by sending you the other 19.
How about we go half? How about we go half?
Yeah, I know the kind of brother you are. You ain't giving me nothing. I know you already.
we go half on that, man. We'll go half. Okay. I want to thank the captivating Verna A. Levy for joining us. Also, be sure to catch up with Confunction on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/ConfunctionUSA. Also, at their official website to get all the latest tour information, of course. That smooth jukebox tour, Lord have mercy. That's at www.confunctionusa.com. If you can get in Doctor Who's time machine and go back about 20 years, what would the Michael Cooper today say? And what kind of conversation would he have with that Michael Cooper to get him prepared for this journey?
But if I just went back 20 years, there wouldn't be a lot of difference. 20 years ago, I was pretty cool. 20 years ago, I was 50 years old. If I could go back 45 years or so, then I'd have some conversation for the brother.
45? Yeah.
But I'd have a few conversations along the lines of the women and all this stuff and, you know, stuff like that. But for the most part, musically, I wouldn't change a thing. I call him a good friend of mine. I don't even know the man. But somebody once said, life is a tapestry, and tapestries are woven, and every single tapestry somewhere has a loose string. That loose string represents the what if I had a, what if I would a. That's the loose string. And they say, never pull on that loose string, because you risk unraveling the whole tapestry of your life.
Yeah, I definitely concur. Brother, all I ask is you take care of yourself, stay spry, remain young at heart, keep them golden vocals on point. You know the teddy bear has nothing but love for you and the rest of the fellas. Whatever you need, please don't hesitate to let me know. And again, we go and have on this Confunction new album, of course, Smooth Jukebox, due real soon. But in the meantime, make sure you get that new hot single, of course. Text me tomorrow. Man, we can't pick up the phone no more, no rotary phones no more. Lord have mercy, you got a text.
yep. Yeah, well, he'll time you up when you get ready. Well, she'll hit you up when the record's ready to go, and we make sure that contest get rolling.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless and stay strong, okay?
God bless you, man. I appreciate you. Keep on rocking the mic, baby.
Absolutely. We want our R&B shaken but never stirred. Lord have mercy. The legendary Michael Cooper of Confunction. Want to thank him so much, and the rest of the fellows from Confunction family. Be sure get the new hit single, Text Me, tomorrow, available as we speak, to get all the tour and concert information as far as the Smooth Jukebox tour. Stop by the official website. That's at www.confunctionusa.com. also on Facebook, same handle. So make sure you stop by, support these very talented brothers. I always said there's a lot of great music out there. You just have to find it. And that's what the teddy bear is here to do. And remember to get all the latest updates, the comings and goings, who's going to be on the show. Follow us on Instagram at Night Tracks Radio. That's with two X's. We also have a YouTube channel, which this entire interview will be on our YouTube channel. That's at YouTube. That's at Night Tracks Radio Podcast. That's with two X's. Also, what else? On TikTok, we have, you know, it's so funny. When I first started almost 15 years ago, it was just MySpace, and then Facebook came in. So we're dealing with a lot of social media. Lord have mercy. But yeah, we're on TikTok. Same thing. That's at Nitrax Radio. And on Instagram, on Instagram.com/Nitrax Radio. And be sure to subscribe to our Facebook page, same handle, Nitrax Radio. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And I'm a teddy bear, help you tune out all the negativity. It's definitely been a blast. And to each and everyone, as always, keep it soulful here on Nitrax Radio.